this, that if you're one who in any degree seeks to do anything in the Lord's work, you will discover, probably sooner rather than later, just how real the devil is. And just how much of a battle that you are now involved in since you trusted the Saviour. And the apostle here in writing to the church at Ephesus, in verse 12 of chapter 6 in particular, he emphasizes the toughness of the situation that you and I are in, that we wrestle not, or where it says wrestle not against flesh and blood, it means wrestle not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places. You have a look with me there at verse 11, you will see towards the end it says that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's true that the word wiles there does mean methods, but it actually refers to the art of handling an argument. Now, you've seen plenty of that in Northern Ireland. Some people are better at the art than others. But that's what it means. The art of properly handling an argument. And whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, in a similar vein, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, referring to the devil, we are not ignorant or unaware of his devices. And the word devices there means clever arguments. So we are not unaware of his clever arguments. And what Paul is saying to the believers here at Ephesus, and the Holy Spirit is saying to us, you need, as best you can, to know your enemy and to take the necessary preparation to confront that enemy. Very sad. If you read through the Word of God, you know that the devil uses people. Very often we are very pleased that the Lord uses imperfect instruments like us. But in the world he uses people. And some of them are those who they could be described as his ambassadors and being a master workman. And that's what he is, folks. Don't think he's anything else. Being a master workman, he uses people very often who you and I might say they have a pretty sharp intellect. And they know how to word things. And he uses those as well who are people who would seem to hold sway. When you think of the book of Acts in chapter 13, you think of Elymas, who tried to turn the deputy there in that chapter in Acts 13, to turn him away from the faith. Elymas, people were looking to him. I'm thinking then, well, if he says it, then it has to be right. A very naive and foolish notion about the devil would be that he's some kind of monster who will all the time roar like a lion. He does that sometimes. Roar like a lion. And it would be very obvious what he's up to. Well, I think that in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he made it very clear that that was not the case. We know, we read in the Word, that his ministers are transformed into an angels of light. And there you have the pleasantness, as well as those who hold sway and those who are pretty sharp when it comes to the arguments that we've been reading about here, the devil's arguments. Someone said, it wasn't me, this is their quote, they said concerning the devil that he places cushions under the consciences of people who need Christ. He places cushions under the consciences of people who need Christ. The devil is very busy. And you can see his hand in many areas of the world today. I mentioned something to you there about what happened this week in Egypt. Some family plunged into despair. Some church assembly at Wits End Corner. But you know, the devil is busy in other ways. Remembering the wiles or the arguments of the devil. And we want to draw your attention now to our own context of Northern Ireland. I speak to you in love, congregation, and have to be honest with you. And while I'm not going to labour the point, I want to mention two things that are upsetting an awful lot of people at the moment. And some people are just going about crying every day. And other people are in danger of getting really, really angry. And one thing is the protocol that is in Northern Ireland right now. As I said, I'm not preaching on it. But in recent years, for a long number of years, I have never sensed such tension and unsettling circumstances. And it seems to be gathering momentum every week. That is one thing. And we know that many people think that things are reaching boiling point, and they may be. But the other thing is this possible forcing of these new abortion laws upon Northern Ireland. Many, many, I think I mentioned it last Sunday, many hearts are absolutely broken. People in real despair. And really, really can't believe that it's come to that point in Northern Ireland where very soon we could have this law foisted upon us. And those two things that I just mentioned to you, you love Northern Ireland and so do I. Make no mistake about it. But there's the protocol situation and all of the political ramifications associated with that. And then there's the abortion law. And those two things have the potential to make very good Christian people very angry or really, really despairing. And Christian friend, remember this. The devil is an opportunist. And he will come along and he will capitalize upon whatever it is that's troubling you. I know some of you here, no, all of you, but I know some of you quite well. And there are some situations when you will never budge. And the devil will never, ever, as I see it, he will never get you there. But he's looking for somewhere else. And if he can get us, I'm not saying, suggesting regarding these things that we shouldn't be angry with righteous indignation and that we shouldn't be upset because we're human and we have compassion in our hearts, or at least we ought to have for babies. But we want to be very careful, folks, that the devil doesn't come along with these clever arguments that I've been talking about. And he doesn't whisper these arguments in your ear to the extent that they affect your walk with God and the unsettled circumstances in Northern Ireland at the present time. They ultimately bring you to defeat or disturb and upset your walk with God. I listened to a man's testimony. He was in the Tandragee area. It's years ago, one time. He was testifying from prison. And he was a man who had professed salvation. He'd been saved. And I'm not going into this morning what happened. But he got to the end of his tether. And what I'm talking about this morning here, anger, it got the better of him. And that good man did a bad thing. And he acknowledges that he lost out with the Lord at that time. That he just couldn't hack the situation any more the way it was, and hence we had his behaviour, his action, and his prison sentence. So it's all very real, and it's all very relevant for us today. And as someone with quite a wide family circle, and having a love in the Lord for everyone in the congregation here, and for plenty of other Christians I know as well, it would certainly be my wish as a minister for my own family and for you and for your family and for the believers I know. I know about conviction about things, and I feel them extremely strongly, just like you do. But we don't want to lose out with the Lord. So I've given a title to the message this morning as we draw your attention to verse 13. We've mentioned verse 12. Again, I read verse 13. Wherefore, in other words, because of this, because of what he's just said there, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want this morning to speak about dressed for the occasion. Dressed for the occasion. We're looking here at Christian armour. And I'm sure you know me well enough and long enough to know that I probably feel like just the vast majority, if not all of you, do about these things that we're seeing. So what do we do? We're supposed to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And yet, we're going to put, there's my hand up. It's challenging when you're trying to be like that. And all you can do is sit and look at your television and wonder what's going to happen next, and is anybody going to stand up for us in any of these issues? And if we're not very careful, folks, it can get under our skin. That's it. Under our skin. So therefore, we need to take the whole armour of God. The devil will see, he will see the opening. And he will come along to you, and he will have his carefully planned arguments as to why you should change. I want to notice here, first of all, as we consider dressed for the occasion, that is for the occasion that we're in now, in these days in Northern Ireland, first of all, set limited resolve aside. Set limited resolve aside. Resolve is important for Christians, but it's limited. And there are, I've mentioned this just earlier, there are believers, and even on a human level, they are determined that they know what they believe and why they believe it, and that other Christians before them, they will go to their death other than deny it. And that's resolve. But you think here, the context in which the Apostle Paul is speaking, many believe that he was actually looking at a Roman soldier. Certainly referring to the Old Testament dress, anyway, or one. And in difficult circumstances, every soldier must walk, they must work, they need to relax. And in all of that, there has to be that readiness. And the devil hopes that you and I will be pushed through anxiety and frustration to a point of exhaustion which leads to negligence. And in that way, take you away from the Lord. Therefore, we need to set aside our limited resolve, because I'm the first one to say, my resolve, I hope it's good, but it's limited. I know that. No match for the devil. And if you look there in the passage and some of the things that he mentions to them, the apostle here is trying to encourage them the best he can. to get on the armour of God, to set aside any resolve that they have. They don't throw it away, but they don't rely on it. It says there in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Where it says loins girt there, the verb used is active. Always girt about with truth. And folks, in these days of darkness, we've been through a year of great challenge because of the COVID-19. The enemies of truth have been very busy. Of course, there's an underlying agenda. We're not stupid. And the powers of wickedness have been working away, and many people feeling exhausted. But if negligence comes in, then that is when we begin to lose out. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Let's make sure that we're in the truth, that we're under the truth, that we're embracing the truth, that we're loving the truth, that we're praying in truth, that we're sharing the truth, in spite of everything. There are different pieces of armour here mentioned, and certainly we don't have time to go through them all, but verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." I want to ask you, are there fiery darts being fired at you right now? Maybe it's those darts coming and saying, well, there you are. If God really cared for all these babies, why is this allowed to happen? Or if God really loved the many people in Northern Ireland who pray, why is the situation regarding various things the way it is? Why is it right now? And those kind of accusations, if you like, they are the fiery darts. It says here, "Take the shield of faith," where the shield referred to there was a shield that was used for those who were marching into conflict. That's what you're doing. You try to win souls to the Lord, try to live for Him. But there was a certain type of shield, there was a type of covering. I'm not sure what type of material it was now, but when the enemy fired burning arrows and they stuck in your shield, they could have the effect of burning that shield, but for this particular material that they covered them in, and it put the flame out. The fiery darts were still being shot. And no doubt the fiery darts being shot at someone was scary. It had the effect of shaking up individuals. But folks, the fiery dart only did you real harm if it hit you. And it says here, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." That is exactly what the people there would have known, exactly what the Apostle Paul was using by way of illustration. They'd seen it all before. Maybe some of them had these shields. But it's a shield of faith. And faith believes when it can see the way ahead. And faith has to believe, folks, when we don't see the way ahead. And then we're taking the shield of faith. And maybe there is someone now here or associated with you, and maybe you could show them that verse and say, listen, the darts are coming. Remember the shield. The dart can only harm you if it hits you. And I wonder, is there someone today and you're depending in a great degree upon resolve? You've watched the media. It's not the heart clean out of you. You know what's happening, and let's face it, you're very angry. And the uncertainty adds to that anger and frustration. And deflection, or attempted deflection, makes you even more angry. And you know what's happening, and you feel powerless to do anything about it. But folks, if we're overwhelmed by anger, or even by despair, That is the very time, as I've mentioned, that the devil will come along and he will say to you, you need to do something else. You need to stop relying on this God that you talk about. Where is he? I wonder, did the devil ever say that to you? Where's the Lord? What's he doing now for you? Fiery darts have been coming for a while and it seems that they've been hitting their mark. Remember the teaching of Paul here. Above all, he says, there's lots of other bits here. He says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Setting aside resolve. Resolve is important, but we must not rely on it alone. We must cast ourselves every day, folks, on the Lord. And we must have this armour on every day, because we are to be dressed for the occasion. It's a very, very difficult day. I'm not judging anyone. It could be me tomorrow, I know that. So many Christians I know, they've lost out. They've lost out, and that's the bottom line. We could talk about it and try and rationalise what's happening all day. Bottom line, lost out with the Lord. That really discourages many others too. So there is here setting aside of resolve, of our limited resolve, but there is the sufficiency in all these pieces of armour. A soldier, even to this day, has to wear what a general or someone else in charge tells him to wear. He's not permitted. He does not have liberty. Some of you would know more about this than me, but he doesn't have liberty to indulge his personal notions and think, well, I think. If he wants to wear a baseball cap instead of a proper helmet, well, then he's gonna be in trouble sometime. And we must therefore look at what is shown to us here as part of that armour and say, when we look at it all, that there's enough here to be sufficient for us now to dress us fitly for the occasion. Remember the teaching again in 2 Corinthians when Paul was writing to them there in chapter 10. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Why did he say that? Because he knew. Just like we all know today. Despair is a very real thing. Anger is a very real thing. And he wrote to them, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty through God. And he went on to say, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know what the word strongholds means? I think I mentioned it before one time. It means reasonings that are false. Does that not ring a bell? So therefore, you and I, with this armour, we have the potential to know victory in and through the Lord. If you look at all of the armour here, it is meticulous. No point in putting the armour half on. Satan's darts will find the little holes. And then they'll hurt you. You know the illustration over there from 1 Kings 22 regarding Ahab. He thought he was such an underhand schemer. He thought he was literally on the crest of the wave. It was all going to go well. And a certain man drew a bow adventure. Some people think it was General Naaman. Drew a bow adventure. He shot the arrow, and the arrow found the divide in his armour. That was the end of him. Now, Ahab wasn't a Christian. But Christian, do bear in mind that the devil is looking for, he's looking for the little niche there, the little hole there to get in. Therefore, we must have on all the armour. And we're looking here at the sufficiency of every piece. Take on to you the whole armour of God, it says in verse 13. You send a foot soldier into a very different situation, armed to the teeth. But he doesn't have a flag jacket on. Well, the odds are against him right away. It says here, take unto you the whole armour of God. And God has designed each piece of armour for a particular purpose. You cannot cover your heart with your helmet. And there's sufficiency there to cover every part of us that is vulnerable. Having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. It doesn't refer to salvation, that kind of imputed righteousness, but righteous living. That's the walk, tied in as well with verse 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, that protects our heart. The helmet of salvation, that protects our thinking. And folks, the Lord has provided for us, even in dark and very challenging times. Times when you've maybe asked yourself the question. I've asked it to myself this week in the study several times. I think I might have mentioned it to my wife once. What am I going to do now? What if there's deflective, lest you call them deflection politics, to turn you away from the real issues? What if there's that for a few weeks, and then I'll give them a few months, and they'll just go with the flow? Things are too big. And we've asked ourselves the question, what are we going to do now? And you don't know what to do now. And you're on the verge, maybe there's someone here today, and you're on the verge of being very angry. Or sinking right down into despair. You can't look at the photographs that are put up regarding little babies that are aborted. You just can't look at them anymore. And then you see the clips of it happening all around you in the world, but some places in Northern Ireland, but things go the way they're going in more places too. The sufficiency of the armour. Folks, this is for you today, so that you might know victory. Young person, for you, look at the very start of the chapter. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and your mother, and so on. Surely this includes young people. Someone said one day when I was there, said young men and women trying to live for the Lord now and growing up in this world today with the street craft of the world and with the underhandness of the world and with the busyness of the devil, they haven't a chance. Well, you have a chance, Christian young person. The Lord can use you in a far better and more useful way than he's ever used the like of me. And I hope he does. But you need on the whole armour of God. You need to be suitably dressed for the occasion. Set aside fleshly resolve. The sufficiency then of every part of armour. But finally and briefly, standing well. Look at the end of the verse. In the evil day, and having done all to stand. You see where it says they're done all? If you look at your margin, if you've got a margin in the Bible, it says they're having overcome all. That's encouraging. You put on the armour and now you've overcome all. Remember what the apostle said in Romans 8 and 37, was it? In all these things we are more than conquerors. In the midst of them. We're in the midst of it now. You can't look to 2 or 3 years down the line and think of, if the Lord sends revival, then we'll be in victory. We can know it now. We need to know it now. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says, stand here against the wiles of the devil. And back to verse 11 again. That word sometimes implies a posture for a person in a fight. But very often, the word stand there is referred to conquering. And in the midst of this upheaval and turmoil, and uncertainty, and I don't know what all was going through his head, but Job said in verse 19, chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand. The word's referring to conquering. He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And Christian, remember this, you are in him. You are in him today. So young person, think about you every day, and I mean that. It's not a big congregation. Glad to have the young people, we do have. Think about you every single day. Pray that the Lord will help you, not necessarily to be wealthy. If you do well in that way, that's good for you. But you don't need to. But you need to do well in the battle for the Lord. And all the difficulties that you face, the whole armour of God being suitably dressed is the answer. One scripture to turn you to and then we'll finish off. Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church at Corinth in the second epistle, he says in verse 8, we don't want you, brethren, we would not have you be ignorant of our trouble, how we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. The word despair is there, means to collapse emotionally. Do you ever feel like that? Plenty of people feeling like it in Ulster today. They've got a year of up and down, in and out, pandemic. Something which has become really, really a feeling of oppression now upon people that needs to be opening up as it is doing, thankfully. Got that. But then you've got all the exhaustion that comes after that, and then you've got these things. These things, I mentioned them earlier, that of course have been worked on right through this when you and I have been praying and hoping and trying to get through the best we can. There has been that which has been busy peddling these other things. And you're tired. And you're emotionally exhausted. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, we despaired, emotional collapse. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. That's in that situation, a setting aside of the flesh and his limited resolve. But he's trusting here in the Lord. It says who delivered us from so great a death, or from so terrible a death. He knew it. He remembered what salvation did for him, and we want to remember that too. You are the Lord's. You're saved eternally, and that can never change. And whatever does happen in our province, you will still be saved. So the Lord has delivered us from so great a death. And it says there, and doth deliver. The term there, deliver, is one that is connected with the medical profession. There's some people involved in that in this congregation this morning, and you know how it is. You go and you give a certain medicine to people with a certain ailment. You do it that they might be delivered from their ailment. And that's what the Lord is doing for us right now. He can help us through his word. He can help us by having on the whole armour of God. He can strengthen us against the odds. And he can help us to live victorious in these days of debauchery and departure and darkness. He's delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. But look at this. Maybe there's someone. And you're like the apostle. The apostle, at this occasion that he's talking about, he's looking forward to the future. And he knows that his battle's not over yet. Yes, he's felt almost in collapse emotionally, and he's been badly abused, and no doubt distraught mentally. But he has more battles to fight. And so have Christians in Ulster. And many people are wondering, what about the future? What about better days for the boys and girls and the young people? What about if we don't just give up everything, are we going to have violence again? I grew up in the Troubles. And I started working, I knew what it was when I was out in the lorry, to be constantly. There was hardly a week went by that I went to Newry for coal that I hadn't to do a different road because of incendiary devices and bombs and shootings. And we don't want that for the children. And people are worrying, what is it going to be like that if we don't just give in to everything? Well, look at the end of the verse. God's delivered us from so great a death. He doth yet deliver us now. He's given us His word. As I said, the word deliver there is associated with medical practice. The Lord does give us His word right now. But it says at the end, and this is the answer, will yet deliver. See it there. He who's delivered us does deliver and will yet deliver. You and I can safely put our hand in His and give the future to Him. Let's have on the whole armour of God. And cast yourselves upon Him every day. And just remember that while we can rightly be very unhappy and angry about things, we need to watch out for the devil is about. Today in Northern Ireland, and while again there is the attraction of opening of the whole country and better days, Christians don't set aside the real picture and the great need and the things that really matter. And therefore we need to be suitably dressed for the occasion. I trust the Lord will help us all to take new confidence in Him and have on the whole armour of God.